This morning, while I was driving here, I had a nagging concern that I might be only speaking to the ushers and the worship team people, and there'll be a great empty hall. But I'm impressed. There are so many left behind people. And you are all very considerate because you don't want to clog up the highways unnecessarily. And let me tell you, being considerate will earn you some rewards. Do you know the rewards? Hello? Yeah. The rewards from me is that you will inherit the streets of KL, PJ, and some say Klang as well. Yeah, give yourself a big hand. Yeah, whoa. Yeah. So, since Chinese New Year is round the corner, let me wish you 新年, 蒙恩, right? 万事如意. I hope I pronounce it correctly. But if not, you know what I mean, right? Yeah. May God's richest blessing be upon each one of us and our loved ones in the coming lunar year. Once there was a Sunday school teacher. She thought she had done a great job in explaining the verse, 1 John 1:9. And those of us who have memorized it will know that it reads, if we confess our sins, He, means God, is faithful to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the teacher thought she had explained it very well. So just to test the understanding of the students, she asked, now class, can everyone tell me what must we do if our sins forgiven? There was no answer. Until a few minutes later, a little hand shot up at the back, little Johnny. So Johnny says, I have the answer. Teacher, in order to have our sins forgiven, we must first commit sins. Technically, it's right, isn't it? Yeah. If you don't have sin, what is there to confess, right? And what is there to forgive? So the little boy is correct, technically. Yeah, he is so true. So today we are continuing with our parable, the series on parables of Jesus. And the one in focus this morning is the parable of the unforgiving servant. It is found in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. Let me read to you from the ESV. Verse 21 says, then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you that there are so many of us gathered to remember you, to give you thanks and praise for what you have done in our lives and what you are continuing to do. So we thank you, Lord, that we can be found in your house this morning. Thank you also, Lord, for the words of Jesus in this wonderful parable with a great lesson for each one of us. So I pray, Father, that as we consider your word, may your spirit be here to guide us along. Be our teacher. Illumine our hearts, Lord, with your word, and help us, Lord, to apply your words so that we become better followers of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so the background to this is Peter asked Jesus, "How many times should I forgive my brother?" And that was triggered off by an earlier passage in same chapter, verses 15 to 20, when Jesus gave the formula on how to resolve conflict among fellow brothers. So then Peter thought, surely there must be a limit to our forgiveness. So at that time, the rabbis, the religious teachers, taught that they should forgive only 3 times. And they got it from reading the Old Testament prophets. For instance, Amos chapter 1, verse 3, and all that. You can read there that for 3 transgressions and for 4, God pronounced, "I will destroy something." That means God is going to punish the people for 3 transgressions and for 4. So they say, you only need to forgive somebody 3 times in a lifetime. Yeah? After that, you are under no obligation to forgive anymore. So Peter say, he asked the question, he said, "Lord, how often will my brother..." So he is never assuming that we will not be offending our brother. So he is saying, as a matter of fact, we are fallible people, so we are bound to offend one another. So he said, "How many times will I forgive him? 7 times? So you see, Peter was trying to get maybe a pat on the back from Jesus. So he knew at that point in time, the religious say, only 3 times you need to forgive. So he's doubling it up. 3 times 2, double up. So plus 1 more for good measure. So becomes 7. 7 is, as you know, is a complete number in the Old Testament. 7. Everything was, you know, the world was created in 6 days. On the 7th day, God rested. So 7 is like a complete number. So Peter thought, when he said that, then Jesus would say, "Good and well done, good and faithful servant." But Jesus gave him a shocking reply. He said, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Some other Bible translation will say 77 times. But that is a lot of times too, isn't it? But here, what Jesus is saying is that you should forgive your brother for as often as necessary. There's no limit to the number of times you should forgive your brothers or sister. So, in fact, if it's only 490 times, 70 times 7 is 490. So, I will feel very uncomfortable moving around in PBC because some guys may be pulling up something. I was trying to look for Angry Bird one, but I couldn't find. So this looks a little bit angry too. Eh? So this could be the record book of sins. So you say, Tony, let me check. Whoa, 490. You are now 481. Nine more, eh? Please. Nine more. And then I'm not going to forgive you anymore. So I feel very uncomfortable if all of you have your own pocketbooks like this. Eh? So what Jesus is trying to say is not that actual number, but it is a number, 7 times 7 times 10 times 7. So Jesus is saying, limitless. You shouldn't be counting the number of times. So we should forgive at any time that is necessary when somebody asks for our forgiveness. Now, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is to just let go, to release a person. That's the idea there in the Bible, to release the person. So you wipe the slate clean, you cancel the debt. So you don't want to continue to press for payment of debt because it is considered as fully paid. And today's parable, Jesus equated forgiveness of sin with canceling of a debt. And when we forgive, we are not going to remember the sin anymore. Just like in Hebrew, another place where God says, I've forgiven your sins and I'll remember it no more. Does it mean that God suddenly developed amnesia? That he cannot remember anymore? It is not in that sense. God says, I will remember your sins no more when he has forgiven us, to mean that he is not going to bring up your sin again before you and accuse you again. What he has forgiven, he has put aside. So in the same way, when we forgive our brother or sister, we are not to raise that subject anymore. It is considered as settled once and for all. And when we forgive somebody, we also don't want to harbor resentment or anger or bitterness or seek revenge on our own. Because in Romans 12, 19, God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So God says, don't do it on your own. Because in the moment of anger, you might make the wrong decision. And you may judge differently. And you may run into problems with the law if you take things into your own hands. God says, leave that with me. Can you trust me with that? If we forgive our brothers or sisters, we are saying, God, I'm not going to pursue this matter anymore. Oh, you know the details. You know it better. You know the heart of the offender. And I'm going to let you fight my battle for me. You will recompense me. You will take vengeance if necessary, because you say you will repay. That is the meaning of forgiveness, biblical forgiveness. And then the Bible also teaches that we are to love our enemies. When we love our enemies, we are not going to harm them. In fact, the Bible is saying, your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. And if he needs any other thing, give it to him. So we are to love our enemies. So what more a brother who has offended us? We should love him just the same. So in fact, in the text we read just now, this first servant owed the master, the king, 20,000 talents. And the footnote of my Bible says, one talent equals to 20 years of wages for a laborer. So in the modern day context, a laborer here may be earning about 1,000 ringgit a month. Now we got minimum pay and all that, plus a little bit of overtime, maybe 1,100 ringgit a month. So 20 years of that, plus it is 10,000 talents. So it's 200,000 years of wages. So I did a little calculation, and it came out to a magic figure. 2.6 billion ringgit. It's uncanny, yeah? If you don't believe me, go back and count. 1,001 times 12 per year, times 20 years, times 10,000. It comes to 2.64 billion. It is unpayable. We can never, ever pay. If this particular person attempts to pay, he needs 2,000 lifetimes. And each lifetime of 100 years to repay. So what Jesus is trying to point to us is that this fellow's offense can never, ever be repaid. And that is your sin, my sin, against the Almighty God. We can never hope to pay for the sins against a holy God. And today, it is also good that we celebrated the Lord's Supper, because it is a reminder that sin is deadly serious. In fact, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And God knows that on our own, we can never repay the debt. We can never come back to Him. So out of His great love and mercy for us, He sent Jesus to come to take the punishment for the sin of humanity. And we thank the Lord that Jesus came, offered His life, shed His blood. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So today we are reminded again of the great love of God for us. So this sin is unpayable. There's no way we can pay it, except that Jesus Himself had to pay the price to satisfy God's justice. So then this servant was forgiven of all, just like you and us, you and me. We are all forgiven of our sins when we confess our sins before God and pleaded for His mercy. But this servant went out and found a fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii. And 1 denarius is only 1 day's wage. So 100 is about 3 months of wages compared to thousands of years of wages. So, but this guy was so unforgiving. So he grabbed hold of this guy and said, "You better pay me." He nearly choked him to death. And when he couldn't pay, he threw him into jail. And it was a custom at that time for creditors to put their debtors into jail until they could pay their debts. They could sell their servant, sell their house, sell whatever they have, including family members, wife and children, to raise the money. And that's what this guy did. So when the other servants saw, they were appalled. They were shocked. And they quickly went to report the matter to the master. And the master called this wicked servant and said, "Because you have not extended the same kind of mercy to your fellow brothers, I'm going to also throw you into jail." And the last verse there, verse 35, says, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." So we need to talk, to give to our brothers the same kind of mercy that God has extended to us. Now, forgiveness, people ask, is it to be conditional or unconditional? I've read many books by different authors. Some say it has to be conditional. That guy must come, plead for mercy, ask for forgiveness, and then maybe make restitution. Then we will forgive. But there are also Bible scholars who say, no, forgiveness should not be conditional. We should give it whether that person asks for forgiveness or not. My stand is that I agree with the second one. It should not be conditional. We should extend it as liberally, as freely as we have received from the Lord. I would rather err on the side of caution. I don't want to run foul of the warning in Jesus. If you don't forgive, God is not going to forgive me as well. So I rather forgive as far as possible, without condition. Forgiveness should be immediate. But then a lot of people say, oh, if I forgive that person, he's going to take advantage of me again. So I'm scared. I don't want to forgive him. But you see, they confuse the concept of forgiveness and reconciliation. They are two different things altogether. Forgiveness is unconditional, you forgive. But reconciliation is restoring of broken relationship back to its former glory. But sometimes we know if the hurt is bad or if it's a repetitive kind of offense, it is difficult to be reconciled immediately, isn't it? Even though he has made a sincere and genuine apology, it may not happen so soon. Just like there's an adultery in a marriage, and it is not easy for the wife, especially, to trust the husband. Even though he has made amends, he stopped seeing the other woman, he has promised to do everything right from then on, but still it takes a while for trust to be restored. So it is okay, you can forgive, but you can tell the other person, I forgive you, I love you, I forgive you, but give me a bit time, give me a bit of time. Let us build on our trust relationship. So reconciliation and forgiveness, they are separate things. That's why you can forgive. And it doesn't mean that you must allow that person to come into your life and then exploit you, take advantage of you. God has given us a good mind. He has given us wisdom. And if you lack wisdom, Book of James says, you can ask the Lord and He will give you freely without reproach. So we must exercise wisdom as well in our relationship. So to me, forgiveness must be complete. But then there are three different scenarios here. It may happen like you give full forgiveness, no reconciliation. Or the second one will be full forgiveness, partial reconciliation. The third and the ideal will be full forgiveness and full reconciliation. We should work towards the ideal, having full reconciliation. And that's what Jesus did. He came down, He knew we were sinners, we were lost in sin, and then He came. He died for the sin of man so that He can reconcile us with God the Father. So the aim of forgiveness is always with the ultimate aim of reconciling with people who are at odds with us. It may happen immediately or it may take a while, but we should work towards that. Let me give you maybe one or two examples. See, a few years ago, I was in Chennai, India, on a mission trip with my seminary, and they organized some few nights of meetings in one particular church there, and I was the main speaker. And I gave the message, a series of messages over 3 nights. And at the end, the pastor of that church say, "Hey, Tony, something wonderful happened during the past 3 nights." I say, "Please tell me more." He say, "We have this problem with these two ladies. They are sisters. And they are very powerful, influential, and they each have their own group of supporters. And they don't see eye to eye. One is like the east, one is like the west. They say, east is east, west is west, and the twin will never meet." And that's them. If you're coming this way, the other one will turn another way. If they have a meeting at 9 o'clock, the other one will come at 11 o'clock. They don't want to meet. So he said, after they heard some of the messages, they ran towards one another. And all the supporters were a bit worried that they might be clawing at each other. But instead, they hugged each other. And they were sobbing and apologizing, saying, "Sorry, it's my fault, not yours." "No, no, no, it's my fault. You are in the right." And they made up. Even though attempts have been made over the past years to get them together. So initially there was no reconciliation, but at that point in time, there was full reconciliation. And it was a joy for the pastor because then there was peace and harmony again in that church. And I pray that that peace will continue even until now. Then, of course, some of you may say, "Hey, Tony, you're talking maybe theoretically. You might not have experienced anything of this sort yourself." So I'm just going to share with you a personal testimony, if I can. It is about my early childhood. I came from Kulim, a small town in Kedah. And in a family of 5 siblings, and my parents, and then is my relationship with my father. He was not a bad father, but he was like a traditional Chinese father, Asian father, who will not speak to the children or have much interaction with the children except to when they need to discipline you. And to them, children are to be seen and not heard. That means you don't make noise in front of them. And he has some difficulty controlling his anger. When he's upset, he will let go. He uses his hands, legs, or whatever is convenient to him at that point in time. And I'm afraid I was the recipient of some of his heavy-handedness. It came to a point where I had nightmares. And during these nightmares, I would dream of taking vengeance on him. I would dream that I would be big and strong and I would beat him up in front of my mother. I knew it was wrong. I knew it was not glorifying to God. So I told the Lord, "God, haven't you said in your 10 commandments, honor your father and your mother?" I say, "How can this be honoring when I am dreaming about beating up my own father?" I say, "You need to help me, O Lord. I can't do it on my own." Praise the Lord. Over time, he chipped away the hard-heartedness in my heart, the resentment, the bitterness, and the vengeful spirit in me. And things became a little bit better. And then some 20 over years ago, my mother passed away, and my father was left alone up in Butterworth, in Pride. He was living in the one house by himself, so I told him, no, father, you're getting older, you better come down. And I equipped my house, everything, and invited him to stay with me. And most reluctantly, he came down. And I thank my wife and my children for making him feel comfortable, for extending hospitality to him. And he was able to stay with me for more than 20 years before he passed on a few years ago at 95. And I praise the Lord that during that 20 over years that he stayed with us, God gave me a chance to rebuild this lost trust and all the last remnants of resentment in my heart was slowly but surely chipped away. And when my father died, we were all, my whole family, we were all beside him, holding his hands, reading the Psalms 23 to him, and singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. And he was ushered into heaven in a most peaceful manner. And I knew at that point in time, there was full forgiveness and full reconciliation with my father. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, I tell you, brothers and sisters, we can. Sometimes it is very difficult. I know. I've gone through it. And some of you here may be having issues with people who have hurt them, betrayed them, cheated on you, whatever. I tell you, God is here. When He asks you to forgive, He doesn't leave you alone to do it, but He will equip you. He will provide you the means. And all you need to do is to rest on His strength. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. So God is able to give us the love and the heart to forgive. No matter what offenses have been done against you, no matter how severe can it be when we compare the kind of offense that we have against the eternal Almighty God? There's just no comparison. So if it is between brothers and sisters, let us be more generous in extending our forgiveness. Some people say, when we forgive, does it mean that we have forgotten? Not necessarily. You can forgive, but you need not forget. But over time, you can pray that God will lessen the hurt. Don't keep bringing it up, because if you have already forsaken that and that is a sin, don't keep thinking about the same thing. Then you will be reveling in that sin again. Let it go. But it doesn't mean that immediately you will forget. You may not be able to forget immediately. But by forgiving, it doesn't mean that I've forgotten everything. So don't put the pressure on. It may come. Time heals. We need to give time. And is forgiving ignoring sin? You say, if I forgive him, then he will think that whatever he is doing is right. No, we are not condoning sin. We are not telling him, whatever you did is okay, I forgive you. No, it's not okay. You can say, yes, I forgive you, but sin no more. Like what Jesus told that lady found, caught in the act of adultery. He said, has nobody condemned you? Neither do I condemn you. But go and sin no more. Same way, you can tell your brothers and sisters who have sinned against you, you just say, I forgive you, but don't do it again for the Lord's sake. In fact, the offender must still continue to face consequences of his actions, especially like drink driving. If you drink and drive and you knock somebody down and he's hospitalized, you may have to pay for his medical bill. And if the law says that you need to go behind bars, you still need to go behind bars, even though the person that you knocked down for has forgiven you. But you still need to pay for the sin. King David, when he was caught for adultery and murder, he had to pay heavily for his sin, even though God forgave him freely. In conclusion, what can we say from this parable? First, our sins are so great, it is not something that we can pay back to God. But thank God that He has forgiven us so freely. He remembers our sins no more. Jeremiah 31:34. So we also must forgive others and at the same time forgive ourselves. Sometimes we can pray and ask God to forgive us. At the end, we still are plagued by guilt. That is the devil playing tricks on you. My brothers and sisters, don't listen to all those. Because when God say, I've forgiven you, He means it. He means it. So you don't have to feel guilty anymore, because you say, if you confess your sin, He is faithful to forgive your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So that means you need not feel guilty anymore. If you still hear that, you can just say, Satan, get out of my face. God has forgiven me. He has taken the guilt away. Our offenses to our fellow brothers and sisters are minimal compared to our offenses against the Almighty God. So we should now forgive other people. In Ephesians 4:32, we are told, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So we should see God's model of forgiveness. He has forgiven us of much. Can we not forgive others of very little? That is the lesson for us today. And, of course, the warning is in Matthew 6:14 and 15, for if you forgive others that trespass, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So there's a warning here. We need to forgive. There's another place where Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged. For with the same measure that you use to judge others, that same measure will be used to judge you. How would you like that? If you are very severe in judging others, that same measure will be used against you. So God is saying, be kind, be forgiving, because I have already forgiven you of much. So let me finish with one little story. It's a real life story. It happened, and it will tell you what God can do in the heart of somebody who is willing to obey His commandment to forgive. This happened in Rwanda, a small little country in the center of Africa. It's called Rwanda. In the 90s, there was a civil war between two major races, the Hutus and the Tutsis. And in that mayhem, more than almost, they say, rough estimate, 1 million people lost their lives in a space of 9 months. And these were all former neighbors. Some of them were in the same community, living side by side. Their children were going to the same school. Some even worshiped in the same churches. But yet, when the racial riots started, they forgot about their religious background. They forgot that they were Christians. They became Hutu Christian or Tutsi Christian, and not Christian Tutsi or Christian Hutus. So they started slaughtering one another. And one of these was Adele, one lady. She and the husband was a pastor, and when all these things were happening, they ran and hid themselves in the basement of a church. They thought they would be safe. But the militiaman came in and asked and shouted, "Where is the pastor?" So the husband of this woman came up, and straight away this young man with a machete just struck him on the head, splitting his head open, slashed his throat, died on the spot. The woman was holding his hand, blood splattered all over her, and then the same man that cracked open the head of the husband gave her one also on the head, chopped her wrist almost half off, cut her on the shoulders, and left her for dead. Only 3 days later, the villagers felt safe enough to come into the church to bury the dead. They were all piled up in a small church. And when they came to Adele, they found there was still a little pulse in her. So they rushed her to the hospital. And it was a long drawn battle for her. For 3 whole years, she was in and out of hospital. But she recovered. And in that time, she had a lot of time to rethink her religion, rethink her relationship with God. And she said, she was convicted. She said, "I have a choice. I can choose to be a very bitter, resentful, and ugly old lady. Or on the other hand, I can choose to be a forgiving lady, obeying God's commandment to extend forgiveness." So she made a choice. She said, "I want to be a beautiful woman who can minister to those murderers." And near her house, some of these people who killed other people were already arrested. And she adopted that prison next to her house. And she became like a mother to the prisoners, bringing clothing, bringing blankets and food to minister to them. And she also started a Bible study group with them. And one day while she was in a Bible study group, a young man came, fell on her knees, pleaded with her, cried and wept before her, and then asked her, "Please forgive me." Then the lady said, "May I know who you are?" When he lifted his face, she recognized it as the young man who killed her husband and nearly killed her. Her reaction momentarily was a state of shock. But thank God, the love of God enveloped her. And she said, "Yes, young man." He hugged the young man and said, "Yes, I will forgive you. I'll forgive you all your sins." And he joined the Bible study group, and within 6 months, he was baptized. And at the baptism, he apologized publicly for what he had done, and he confessed his sins before the congregation, and he was restored. So the lady continued with her work among the prisoners, and then a few years later there was an amnesty and the president allowed the prisoners to go free. This young man came out, but by then all his family members were already killed. So then this Adele said, "Since you have nowhere to go, would you like to stay with me?" The young man, of course, was overjoyed, and he continued to stay with her, and she adopted him as her son. So, dear brothers and sisters, it is possible. This is a real-life story. It's whether we want to obey God in extending our hand of fellowship and forgiveness. When He calls us, He will equip, He will make it possible. So, are there any people in front of your eyes right now that you need to forgive? It could have happened 10, 15, 20, or 40 years ago, but you have never let go. Somebody said, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner is you. For as long as you don't, you are imprisoning yourself in your own cocoon. Set the prisoner free. Set yourself free to love again. So, the lesson for today is freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading and the preaching of His Word. And later on, if there's anybody who would like prayer on any issues of forgiveness, relationship, problems, or whatever, please come to the front. The leadership is ready to pray with you and maybe to offer counsel if necessary. Yeah? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for this parable of Jesus where you say, Lord, that we need to forgive freely because you have forgiven us of so much. We can also forgive others of so little. Help us, Father. Give us the desire to honor you through giving our fellow brothers who have offended us a hand of forgiveness and fellowship. Be with us, Lord, throughout the week as we contemplate on your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.